So I mean, that's a fucking, I don't understand that at all.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Wednesday, Tottenham. I don't know, what else you want, James? You're staring at me like...
Well, where else am I meant to look other than back at you?
Tottenham.
Congratulations, as you're making the Conference League final.
Ooh, 2 weeks to go.
How was last Thursday for you?
Nervous. I watched it at home, didn't do anything too crazy, just because if we won, it was all that we were expected to do. And if we lost, then there was no getting away from hiding. So I don't think there was any particular glory in getting... There was glory in getting to the final, but it was what we were expected to do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And losing would have been worse. It was very nervy. I think the players were nervous. It wasn't a particularly exciting game of football overall. They kept the ball reasonably well without threatening too much. We created more on the counter. Got a bit more as we kind of second half, 45 minutes to about 75 minutes was getting progressively more nervy. But once we passed 75 minutes, then actually it was getting progressively less nervy. And I felt like they weren't going to score. Eventually, we got to the point where I felt like, you know, they've had their chances and they've been plugging away, but now their chances are getting fewer and further between. And we're able to... Well, we've got their number now. I think we'd figured out like how to just set up and...
Did you lose your shit when 4-0 scored?
Yeah, my wife... what was the...
You have to go mental for a goal like that, man.
Yeah, because everyone had gone to sleep. The kids and everyone had gone to sleep. What day would it be? Yeah, that's not yesterday.
Thursday.
Let's go.
Europa football is Thursdays.
Saturday. Yeah, I'm just scrolling back through messages here.
Can you keep my fucking noise down?
At 9:45, we're in 5 added minutes. What's the score? 0-0 still, I said. She goes, okay, good luck. And then 3 minutes later, oh my God, I take it you scored.
She'd heard, yes.
And then good I sent Pablo Fornal singing at West Ham a massive to her. And she's like, I don't know who that is, but, you know.
Celebrating a goal that you absolutely 100% know is a winning goal.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You're celebrating the goal, the moment, and the victory. Yeah,
way he went through. All in one. I didn't think he was going to score, mind, because he took the shot from quite a way out, and it wasn't an easy finish. I thought he'd miss, but I thought that he'd broken through. It was going to kill enough time that literally the game was done now at this point. It was the last roll of the dice. But yeah, I celebrated when the ball hit the back of the net as opposed to doing the Danny Ings when he went on through.
Danny Ings. So have you seen it now? It's brilliant.
Yeah, I've seen it now. It was it wasn't like a crazy celebration either. It was like, I can't be fucked to run, you better score.
But wasn't he a sub?
Yeah, he came on as a sub. Yeah.
That's the thing, it's like get up and support, man. You're one of the fresher players.
it was good. And then I had been kind of keeping a bit in touch with what was going on with Sheffield Wednesday because I've got you on Twitter as notification. So when you tweet, it pops up. So I was like, oh, that's looking a bit tasty. I watched a bit of the end of game shit because it all kicked off with the riots and all that kind of stuff. And then eventually when that had all calmed down and they'd done the interview with Moyes and Rice, I was like, okay, let me see who we're going to play. And switched over to Fiorentina and was so confused because the clock said 120 minutes and then it was like 8 minutes 50 or something like that. And I was like, but is that 8 minutes of the second half of extra time? Like I was confused as to why it said 120 minutes and 8.5 extra minutes.
There was a stadium emergency in the crowd.
Yeah. Figured it out that, okay, there was extra added time. Thinking, oh, it's 1-1. Come on, penalties. Basel, come on, penalties. And then the commentators, from what they were saying, it was pretty clear.
Did you really want Basel?
I want to win, so give me the easier tie on paper.
You might have it for all you know, mate.
Well, you never know. And from what the commentators were saying, it was clear that Fiorentina had basically been knocking on the door the entire game. And when it went through, it was very clear goal for the winner for Fiorentina, in terms of there was no VAR or controversy or whatever. It was quite a clean goal.
Yes, one of them as well, you know.
And that was it. It's a winning goal.
There's nothing that can be wrong with it and stuff, yeah.
So that was it. Then it's Fiorentina, and off we go, ready to rock and roll for the final. Yeah, it was good. The riot stuff is definitely, it was bizarre.
Are you concerned any of your players are going to get banned?
No, there was talk about it, yeah. But I don't think they can. I don't think they can. These are AZ Alkmaar ultras. Firstly, they're not ultras. They're a bunch of 16 to 18 year old kids that are just like, if they wanted to fight, they should have gone to fight. It didn't look like any of them actually wanted to have a fight. They were just argy bargy. The lack of protection around the players' families and stuff is obviously a concern. But I found it really, I didn't know who was being attacked or where and why the players had all charged in. It wasn't clear initially that it was friends and family. And I was like, what the, this is something weird and bizarre. And my biggest fear initially was that West Ham fans had kicked off as well. I didn't want it to be our own fan. Like, I was, you know, as well as I do, every club's got their dickheads. And I just didn't want it to be our fans that had kicked off. And when it became clear it wasn't, then I was kind of like, okay, good.
The irony about it was 10 days ago, I'm pretty sure it was on the Q&A, we spoke about this exact thing, fact that it happened at West Ham and Alkmaar scored and there was a bit of a cheer from what appeared to be a home end. I explained to you it's probably, which you've
friends
got,
and
okay, where they're sitting, it's probably friends and family. Of course, in this instance as well, also consider, for a club like Alkmaar, they're not going to have that before, probably, where there's a large kind of travelling friends and family for like a European game, and certainly not probably in their modern history, not for a big game anyway, not to the point where, like I said...
Because the previous round, they came back from 2-0 down.
It's that sort of goal where you've got to celebrate.
You can't not.
How can you? Like, Jesus Christ, if you was in the home end, you're going to... It's one of them, I don't think you could keep calm. That's why people always say, oh, would you consider sitting the home end? And I'm always like, oh, I don't know about that, because if you have a moment like that at the end, you're going to lose your shit. And obviously, I think the friends and the family celebrate, which they're entitled to do, by the way, where they're placed in the ground. But then obviously, it's pissed people off. And that I think there's probably a part of... They've not realised that it's friends and family and stuff. It's just West Ham fans in an Alkmaar area of the stadium. Right, let's have it. And that's exactly what we spoke about.
But
it's a little dangerous.
I don't know if it was at the spur of the moment, because they're obviously all balaclavaed up or hoodied up or whatever. Maybe they go to all games like that. I don't know. I don't know. But it wasn't nice. It got dealt with fairly quickly. I don't expect any repercussions for West Ham players, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope that there isn't, because I think it's very natural at that point. So
they were defending their family members. It's not like Eric Cantona's kung fu kick.
No, but there's also a don't leave the field of play. In the same way for us, it's a don't go on the field of play, isn't
How can you not? If you see your wife or kid or whatever in the stands getting attacked, how can you not? How would you not?
But it hadn't quite got to that stage.
I haven't really seen real clear footage of what.
Well, there was obviously your mate Nolsey.
Only Nolsey's what I've seen.
And a few others were obviously standing at the top of the stairs and stopping them coming up.
Yeah.
So I don't think it actually got to the friends and the family. There was a lot of waving from West Ham players, as in like move a certain way to like get away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If UEFA want to be strict about it, then I think, unfortunately, bans are possibilities for a few players, which, like, you really hope that's not the case and some sort of common sense comes into play here.
Yeah, and also, I don't know. Draw me a comparison with Eric Dier.
Did Dier get banned or not? I can't remember.
I can't remember. But he climbed about 300 flights of stairs, didn't he, to save his brother?
Not quite a good sort of 30 or so, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Eric Dyer. Why would I go into Google and type Eric Dyer? The first suggested thing is Eric Dyer girlfriend. Eric Dyer brother stands. Let's see if that.
I'm pretty sure he did get a ban.
£40,000 fine in a disciplinary hearing.
Did he get a game ban or anything?
Suspended four match ban.
I'm sure he served a ban, you know.
Suspended four game ban.
What is it?
Oh, sorry. He was suspended for four games.
Yeah, four match ban. Yeah, if I remember correctly, we got to like the last game of the season and it was like he was banned, if I remember right, and he missed the first few games of the next season or something. I want to say I'm pretty sure maybe that's how it went down. He went into the home crowd, right?
Yeah, that's even madder.
He didn't go into the away crowd. Hopefully, fucking hell, if these players miss out on the cup final because of that and stuff. Shouldn't come to that. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. What I'll do for you, Suj, I already decided I'm going to do a bit of Fiorentina on Talking Tactics for you next week.
Oh, amazing.
To have a little look at them for you so you can get an idea of strengths, weaknesses, maybe, and bits and bobs.
What am I reading here? This is from 2 days ago, James. West Ham players will avoid the threat of a ban in the run-up to the Conference League. The UEFA action is set to be delayed until after next month's showpiece in Prague.
Oh, so, you don't give a fuck about that, do you? Like, if they're banned from the first two games in Europa group stage, like, you don't care, fine then. Yeah, but don't ban them for the final.
Yeah. So, whatever. We move on. We move on. And, really excited and looking forward to it.
Do you think Leicester City will stay up?
No. I don't think they'll beat us.
I'm not questioning that comment, by the way.
Yeah. And they have to win to stay up.
Yes. Or to have a chance of doing so.
Yeah. So, no. I don't think they will.
Do you think Leeds United will stay up?
What's the points difference between Leeds and Everton?
Two.
No. Who's got a better goal difference, Everton or Leeds?
Everton by three.
Then no. I'm backing Everton to get a result against Bournemouth. So, no.
Same. I feel like there's a resignation from Leeds fans that Leicester result finished the chances. But I think it's more about relying on Bournemouth to beat Everton might be an ask too much, maybe.
Yeah, because it's at Goodison, Everton know that it's in their own hands, so they'll be really right up for it. The crowd will be right up for it as well. I think if you look at the last two seasons, despite the team being shit, but last year under Frank when they stayed up, and this year as well, the fans have still been getting behind the team as best they can. Even with after that Yerimina late equaliser. Why'd you ask? Are you asking in the context of?
Well, we're both in the middle of it at the weekend, aren't we? So obviously I'm going up to Elm Road, which I know everyone thinks is funny. It's like, why are you bothering? And the game's on TV and stuff, as is your game as well. So you are on Sky, we're on BT.
Oh, lovely.
But I've never experienced being at an away game when an opposition team's been relegated. And I'm not saying that's why I want to go. But I think the only time I could remember being at a ground when a team was relegated and it was kind of dramatic was we beat Birmingham on the last day in 10-11. And during the course of the game, it looked like they only needed a draw. And then it became apparent quite near the end that they needed to win. And we scored a very late breakaway goal through Roman Pavlyuchenko. And they went down. And all the fans were singing in harmony because Birmingham had beat Arsenal in the League Cup final that year as well. So there was plenty of sympathy being dished out. I'm not sure there'd be so much sympathy being shared between Tottenham and Leeds fans should Leeds go down. But I also think it probably acts as a reminder, considering I'm like, oh, my boring and shit football season. And, you know, it's third world problems, right? We go into the final day still competing for a European place that we're not sure if we even want or not. I want anyway, but I'm not sure the football club does.
Yeah, I mean, the mood at West Ham at the moment, considering what a season we've had,
it will be is amazing the roof at the moment. Of course,
it's amazing, and it's amazing how it changes so quickly. But not only because of the cup final, the football has been getting progressively better and better and better this year, this calendar year. I reckon we must have got more points than you in the league this calendar year.
Wow, I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
I feel like
we've got like 12 from our last 11 or something. That's
really,
yeah.
And we've beaten quite a few. Forest, Bournemouth, Leeds at the weekend. Okay, I'm not talking about big teams here, but we picked up the point against Arsenal. We beat Man United.
We spoke about on, was it Monday's pod? We spoke about maybe Saka's penalty miss being kind of the sliding doors moment of the season for Arsenal. Probably was for you as well. The vibe and the positivity you had after Bowen equalised straight afterwards, then almost had the feeling that you could win the game. And it just seemed to lift the mood. You think back to that first half and how flat it was.
It was a lot more. That was a lot more to do with the performance than anything else. Because we beat Fulham away 1-0, but we just sat in that game before Arsenal. It wasn't a performance that you could say, you know what, we fully deserved it. They didn't deserve it because they weren't able to break us down, but we didn't like massively deserve it. Before that, we'd been pumped by Newcastle 5-1. We'd got 3 points against Southampton before that. But again, Southampton at home, they were rubbish. None of the wins that we'd had before, Forest, the draw with Villa or Southampton, were particularly performances that you were like, we've turned the corner. But the Arsenal game, you're right, was a game where we were like, you know what? I feel like I've seen my team again. I feel like, yeah, there's a result that we deserve. I can walk away from today and say we deserved it, or we deserved even 3 points from that game. And from then, the performances definitely kicked on, for sure. The Liverpool game, like close after, we all walked away thinking, you know what, fucking robbed with VAR again. But we played well in that game. Palace was a car crash. City, you're going to lose to any day of the week. But then we beat Man United really well. And we'd had all the European games in between. So I do think, yeah, from a performance point of view, that Arsenal game, we upped our intensity. The pressing was a lot better and everything clicked into place a lot better in that game.
Yeah.
At the moment, we're playing well. God, like, if only we could keep Declan Rice. What they're saying now is that there's a gentleman's agreement already in place that if someone bids 120, they can have him. I've spoken to a few gooners that are like, oh, yeah, 120. I'm like, look, just pay it. Like, I'm biased that in a way.
120 is a madness, mate.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know what? The thing is, 2 years from now, you're going to have forgotten what you even fucking paid for this guy. Like, this year, last year, everyone talked about £100 million Jack Grealish. Now, they just talk about Jack Grealish. Like, because his performances have really leveled up and everyone is like, okay, we are seeing a player here at Man City. His price tag's disappeared. Like, people stop mentioning it in the same sentence all the time. If Rice levels Arsenal up and they get even closer to winning the league and win a trophy and get even closer the year after, they won't say £120 million Declan Rice. They just talk about Declan Rice. If he's shit, of course, his price tag will go with him.
No one talks about the money if someone's successful.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, just pay it, because I'm sure they will get return on investment on him. I'm sure of it. He will level any club. I'm not just him, any club. I'm saying, you know what? You can't, everything that goes with him, I get it where you're like, okay, it's a lot of money, but there's no such thing as cheap or expensive, in my opinion. There's good value and bad value. And he's good value. Even at 130, 140, I don't know about affordability for a lot of these clubs and how they can amortize it and do what they need to from commercial deals to make their money back. But I'm that confident that he will perform that they will forget his price tag. So just pay it is my mindset. And don't get me wrong, that's not me saying we want 120 million, give us 120 million. It's from an Arsenal's perspective. Like, don't be stingy to try and save 15, 20 million and then get a shitter player. And then you find yourself, rather than being 20 points behind City.
There also comes a point where you're saying no, right? So
yeah, but look at Liverpool.
A lot the other week about like Tony and Rice value and stuff. I'll give you a different example from a slightly lower spectrum, right? So we've been heavily linked with David Raya, who I obviously saw on Saturday and is a very good goalkeeper. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Now, the word on the street is if Brentford get 40 million, they'll take it. That's a lot.
It is.
A goalkeeper, it's a lot. With 1 year left on contract.
Who else are you going to go and buy?
No, but what I'm saying is, you say that, right? Tottenham being linked with loads of goalkeepers, right? And many of them are at half the price of this.
Okay.
So at some point, you do have to make a call and go, think of it like this. If it's Brighton or Brentford, right? I know they wouldn't be in for a Declan Rice. But let's say they're going to go and buy a player for 20 million, okay? And that's the valuation of the player is 20 million. And the selling club goes, no, listen, we ain't talking here for anything less than 30. What do you think Brighton and Brentford are doing? Walk away.
Correct. But then there's a difference between, are you walking away because of affordability? We literally just don't have the money. And these clubs have less money. So is it a question, are you walking away because you don't think he's worth it? Or you just don't have the money?
How many years left on his contract?
Who, Declan Rice?
Yeah.
Two. He's got this year, next year, and then the extension year. So he's got two.
Okay.
But this is not about, if they don't have the money, fine. But tell me, what goalkeeper can you go and buy as Spurs, who is proven in the Premier League, very proven as well, I would say. David Raya has been one of the better goalkeepers this year.
He's arguably been the best goalkeeper in the league this year.
Correct. Age profile is good. And exactly what you're looking for. He'll be your goalkeeper for 7-8 years comfortably, unless he goes on another level to Real Madrid or whatever. And his 40 million. Like, where are you going to go? Pickford? Would you pay 40?
It's probably
Pickford?
What Pickford would cost. No, I get it. So, but then that's
Or pay 20 and go to the European League.
It's market rate unproven. Extra between clubs, right? If Declan Rice is playing for Fiorentina, okay, you ain't paying 120 million for Declan Rice.
Yeah, probably not. But then he hasn't proven himself in the Premier League, right? I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that David Raya has shown he can do it in the Premier League, and his shot stopping, like we've seen,
goalkeeper, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, Kepa, Mendy, a few that Man United have got in over the years.
Chelsea fans will say Edward Mendy's got a Champions League winners' medal and had a big impact on them that first season. So,
but they, what
and
they
bought
pay
him
for him?
Cheap. They bought Mendy for about 15. Was dirt cheap.
Kepa was 70 on the other end of the spectrum. What did Arsenal play for? What did Arsenal pay for Aaron Ramsdale?
About 30.
David Raya, age. How old is the bastard? 27.
Yeah, I mean, for keepers.
But now we're like 30 or 40 million. It's not a 80 or 120 question. And for me, it's like, okay, if you can afford it and you want to guarantee a bit of success, just pay for David Raya. But you know, it's one of them. We'll see what kind of plays out.
David Raya was part of a good Brentford team that I saw at the weekend. Wouldn't be the only player that I'd want from Brentford. Hello, Rico Henry would be very, very interesting as well. Really like him. He's got a great engine at left back. And I meant to say it on Monday's pod, but completely forgot. Clubs will start looking at Matthias Jensen as well.
Nice.
Good player. Really good player. Very cultured. It's same nationality as Ericsson, but that's actually who he reminds me of as well. The later Christian Ericsson, not the one that was more advanced in previous years at Tottenham. More like a modern day Christian Ericsson, sits a bit deeper. Yeah, really good player.
Again, with Brentford, they're going to want money for their players.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I know with them specifically, like, their valuation might not be 40 million for Raya. It might be that it's 30 and they're selling 40 publicly. Right?
Yeah.
They're not going to come out and go, we'll take 20. They're going to, no, we're top end of this, please. Thank you.
Talking about money, and again, these are rumours, and it's probably been flirting around your club as well, but it's been quite a hot topic in West Ham fan channels and blogs. Qatari owners will turn their eyes to London if the Manchester United bid fails.
Yeah, we've heard of
it. I've heard it mentioned with Spurs, but definitely hotting up with West Ham just because we're so cheap to buy.
But you've had your takeover now with your check.
No, he bought 20% of the club, right? But if the Qataris are coming in, this guy ain't got a chance. Kretinsky. You've said it publicly. I'll say it publicly. No thanks.
What do you do? Stop going?
I might stop going anyway, but that's more a time and value of time versus anything debate as it, than it is the club. I can't stop supporting the team. You can't change it, but yeah, I'm not a fan. It's everything that I go. I'm not a fan of in football is the way that everything's turning towards money. So my hope is actually that it doesn't happen. And I know it's your dream of your club is not that it doesn't become state owned in that same way as well.
No, I'd like Tottenham to try and reborn is not the right word. Have a rebirth like they did under Pochettino and try and do it ethically like they did before. Yeah. And I know the more time goes on, the more difficult that sort of thing gets. But
unless they give Dekkers £1 trillion a week contract and he stays. Well, if they get him to stay, I think I might stop at my...
you have to understand this, and I've spoken previously about our bubble and, you know, patrons and what's right and what's wrong. Please understand that, unfortunately, to the average Tottenham fan, if I said to my dad now, Qataris are buying the club, he'd be so happy.
Yeah.
It'd be so
when's handy. Messi coming? When's Neymar coming?
It's a lack of awareness. You know, if you sat down and went, listen, Dad, listen to me. You'd understand things a bit better. 90% of Tottenham fans would be over the moon if the football club was bought by Qataris. They obviously want the owner to go, which was showcased very much again at the weekend. I'm sure it was very audible on the television. That was the loudest it had got yet in that second half in terms of... Yeah, you've seen the image of his wife putting her hand on his leg. So you know, the only thing I thought about that was, and I'll repeat what I always say about Daniel Levy, and listen, he gets shit wrong, we all know that. I don't believe for one second he doesn't care. I genuinely believe that he'll be hurting. It's not like, say with some of the guys at Everton, you start wondering if they actually give a shit. Yeah. Right? You're just putting the club more and more in trouble. I don't believe that Daniel Levy, I think, is probably having sleepless nights right now. There's a case to say he arguably should be. But I absolutely know and I'm absolutely certain that he's hurting. He's hurting. And that message will be getting across right now.
Want to put out signpost. You talked about Everton and their owners. And I listened to Clash of the Correspondents yesterday. I didn't really... realise but Sean making that cheeky point about Usmanov maybe still financing a little bit of that.
Yeah,
club.
We didn't go too deep on it, but we should probably investigate it, shouldn't we?
Do you think that's the case of that shit?
Well, Sean was basically suggesting that he's probably still funding a football club, which he's not allowed, right?
That would be mad. But they are mates, Mashiri and Usmanov, so
yes,
there'll be ways of funneling the money in. Anyway, yes. That's just a side topic that I didn't really think about at all. And then I was like...
No, well, we did money in football in Everton a couple of weeks ago and that shit never occurred to me either. So Sean quite happily just dropped that, didn't he? And
yeah,
I was thinking, how deep do we want to go on this one? Neil, do you want to hang up and come back next week?
Back to Levy.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, the Daniel Levy stuff's getting really, really loud now. The little pocket that I keep talking about of the protesters outside the club shop every week across the road, it's growing every week. And they've also got colours now, Serge. Did you know about this?
No.
They've got colours. So, you know, like Man United have
green
like
gold.
The green and gold. So Tottenham now have like this purple and yellow. Why those colours have been chosen, I have no idea. Because if you wanted to go back to the roots of the football club in the same way that United did, then probably chocolate and gold. Red and white. Go fuck yourself.
Chocolate and gold.
Chocolate and gold would have probably been the way to do it if you really wanted to go down that route. But it's this purple and yellow. So what happens now is, so outside White Hart Lane now, at home games, got a load of people who look like they're at a fucking UKIP rally, Serge.
Oh, man.
It's fucking horrendous. So now we're fucking racists as well, walking around with purple and yellow scarves. Oh, dear, the state of it. So, I mean, that's a fucking... I don't understand that at all. Anyway, But I understand the vocal wanting him Levy to go and stuff like that, which at full time was absolutely drowned out. So I left my seat the earliest I've ever left my seat before the end of a game. Brentford scored the third goal. It was like 88th minute. And I'd gone, mate. See you later. Thank you very much. So I was going to Sandy to pick up Harry.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's not a small journey.
It's a long journey.
I was like, fuck this and getting out of here. So the beauty with Tottenham Stadium is you can walk all the way around and stuff, right? So I did my usual way out, go down the east upper, down the stairs, and walk through the marketplace of the south stand, which is the big home end. I walk through there and, I'll be cashing it on the TVs while I'm walking outside the ground and stuff. So anyway, I get downstairs, 9 minutes added on. The fuck? Where you got this from? I was literally expecting 3 or 4. 9 minutes added on. So anyway, I've run upstairs into the south stand and I watched the rest of the game up there. But then when the final whistle went, it was, as I said, there was no hanging around for lap of appreciations or any shit like that. It was off. So as soon as the whistle went, they're blaring out the music. I can't even remember what it was, but they're blaring out the music so loud. That sound system at Tottenham is ridiculous in terms of how loud it is. They are pumping up the jam, right, to drown out the boos. And then you have Paul Coyett, who's
the guy. I thought you were going to say it was drowned out by like positivity or like other chants. No. Okay, I get it now. Drowned out by the music.
No, yeah, the music drowned out the booing, right? It was like, this game's on TV. We don't want anyone to hear that and stuff. It's like the wrestling folk will know about this, right? When the atmosphere's dead and they put the audible in and like they pump up the crowd noise and stuff to make it sound like it's an atmosphere. This is the opposite. We're going to play music up over the top so no one can hear the people in the atmosphere. They put this message up on the big screen, apparently. Well, actually, I know it's not apparently because I've seen the images. Please stay in your seats. Season awards coming up shortly and stuff. And you're like, shoved up your fucking ass, right?
Yeah.
And Paul Coyett, who does the interviews, is very well liked and respected. Actually, Tottenham got rid of him and it was a big campaign to get him back and stuff. It's very well liked. He does the interviews and stuff. And he's like, let's show our like highlights of the season. Now they're not playing music, right? And everybody's they're booing. They're showing highlights of the season on the big screen and the crowd are booing for it, mate. Apathy and fuck off. And Kane gets his Player of the Year awards, which he deserves. There's no point waiting for that. Like, I wonder who Player of the Year could be. The only other person who could have remotely been in contention was Rodrigo Bentancur, and he's barely played since November. Since November, barely, because he was injured after the World Cup, played a couple of games, and then got injured again. He's the only other person who could have been considered. But it was kind of sad for a few people at the end, in the sense like, Lucas obviously come on with half hour to go, which in itself was a strange decision, but I didn't mind because I didn't really want to see Richarlison either. But he's playing four attackers and he brings Lucas Moura on before Richarlison. Was a little bit strange, in all honesty. But okay, fine. He brought Lucas on. He had zero impact on the game, but he deserved a decent send-off, which I guess he got when he came onto the pitch, but he didn't have it at the end of the day, obviously. And he'll be remembered, obviously, very fondly for the one night in Amsterdam, also the night when he scored twice at Old Trafford at the beginning of that season as well. And his interviews last week were very, very nice, very refreshing and different. Like, he could barely talk about his love for the club and stuff, which is very unusual for a foreign player. And it was a nice reminder that...
Who hasn't played for like 2 years as well.
It's a nice reminder that some of these players... care. He certainly cared. That was one thing you can never label at him. People could say, oh, he dribbles down alleys and he gives the ball away and stuff like that. But you can never look at Lucas Moura and go, I don't think you care about this football club. And he's obviously made errors recently in the two games up at Everton and Liverpool, which were bad, but they're not through.
I mean, Lanzini fell into the same boat. For us, and he came on late and he managed to get his goal and left. But do you remember, it was before the World Cup when he got injured? Which
he
World Cup? Was 2018.
Yeah.
Liverpool, and the talk was Liverpool are going to put in a £50 million bid for him when he comes back, and he's gonna move on. He's only coming up to 30 now. It's not like he's old, and that injury fucked him. Missed the whole World Cup, moved to Liverpool, obviously disappeared, and then never got back in the team. Never moaned. He'd come on as a sub. He'd put a shift in. He was so small and diminutive, and we'll remember one or two of his goal collection. There's some fucking pearlers in there. when we lost to City 3-0 or 4-1, and he scored the late goal there. Obviously, the one against Spurs will live long.
So West Ham, he scored this blinder when we were 4-0 down.
Well, yeah, but if you look at his goal collection, it's his highlight reel is as good as Payet's, but it just doesn't get talked about because he's been forgotten in the last couple of years. I mean, Luke, it's the same for Lucas Moura. Like, I don't want to compare what he did in Amsterdam with the equaliser against you guys and what have you. But it's good to see when you've got a player that actually, yeah, they've got their head down and they haven't kicked up a fuss and tried to get a transfer. Lanzini never did that and Moura never did that. It's nice.
Yeah, and he'll be remembered I hope that Tottenham fans remember the effort and those... They were fleeting, but brilliant nights when they came, rather than the player who's been a little bit error prone when he's come back at parts this season. It was a big part of the team last year before Kulusevski come in as well. Both Nuno Santa and Antonio Conte, when they come in, both picking him every week. He was important. He'd even make a case actually in last season that he was arguably Tottenham's best player in the first 3-4 months of last season. People forget that. Remember, Nuno took him off. It was Nuno who took Lucas off, ironically, wasn't it, against Man United? And the crowd went fucking nuts. That was the end for Nuno. So, yeah, he's gone. I think the one regrettable one for me at the weekend was that he's not known if Hugo's leaving. And I know Hugo's obviously had a car crash of a football season as well. But, yeah, there's a player who really would deserve a good send-off.
I thought it was almost confirmed that he was leaving.
Well, he's got a year left on his contract, to be honest, Suj.
Oh, okay.
So it's not the club have come out and made a statement about Lucas Moura. It's not definitive about Hugo. I don't even know if he was on the pitch after the game, to be honest. I imagine he probably would have been, but I've not gone looking for the images or the videos of this lap of appreciation. Arne Slot.
Is he going to be your manager?
So he's beginning to look like it, yeah. Very, very strongly now, to the extent that there might be something from the ITKs before the weekend that would maybe suggest done deal. There's apparently a meeting happening between Slot's agent and Feyenoord today, which supposedly is going to be about like how much the Feyenoord want to let him go, basically. So we think it would probably be sort of somewhere in the region of sort of 6 to 10 million or so, which, listen, if that's the manager you want, it's fucking nothing. Go and get him. The more I read, the more I like.
Mm-hmm.
I think around this romance idea of Nagelsmann's and Enrique's and stuff, I do think that Tottenham at this moment need to prioritise the brand of football more than anything else. That's not to say that those other names wouldn't provide good football. They probably would. But the brand of football is really important. And I also think Tottenham should operate with their managers now in the same way that I would want them to operate with their players, which is be realistic. And that's not go and try and compete with Arsenal for Declan Rice. That's no point, right? For starters, West Ham wouldn't sell to us, but that operate at a different level.
120 but million would start, anything, mate.
Start thinking a little bit clever. Tottenham aren't going to bid for Declan Rice, but I'm using that as an example. Start thinking a little bit clever. We've never been in a position where you could go and compete with cities or Uniteds and stuff like that on transfers. Like, there's no point. So if you got an interest in the player and they got an interest in the player, if it's firm from them, walk away, find the next option. And I think Tottenham, when you think of the great players that played for Tottenham in the last 20 years or so, they've made the stars. They haven't bought the stars. And the one star they've had as a manager, they helped make. And obviously he made himself, but he didn't come in as this big, massive name when we got Maurizio Pochettino from Southampton, right? You know, he'd be below a level or under, say, De Zerbi's standing within English football right now, in my opinion. A lot of people were rating him highly, but didn't know if he could do a job, at a top club, for example. And I think it's right for Tottenham to identify brand, style, and culture is a word we keep hearing about over the last week. Harry Kane wants to have another meeting with Daniel Levy about culture, supposedly. But this isn't a player that sounds like he's going to leave this summer to me. And I think it's way more important that Tottenham get that right. The little bit of digging I've done on Slot tactically, and I don't want to do too much, just to find out that it's going to be someone else anyway. But I've seen it described that he's somewhere in between Guardiola and Bielsa. which sounds mental and sounds fun anyway. And it's also been described as rock and roll football, which doesn't make me think of Bielsa or Guardiola, actually makes me think of Jurgen Klopp. So if we're getting somewhere in the middle of that, then I'm pleased. And I think it won't put expectations through the roof. There'll be zero expectation on, say, a top four finish next year. So if it shows signs of progress, like Pochettino's first season did, that'll do. I've got to go back watching good football again. And the irony is, in the first half on Saturday, Suge, I did. You know what I watched? I watched fucking Make-A-Wish Roberto Di Zerbi football from Tottenham. And I mean that quite seriously. So Tottenham set up the same way as Brighton. Staggeringly. Played a back four. And that's not the Brighton comparison. It was the position of the two wingers was key. So Tottenham did exactly what Brighton do with, say, Welbeck and McAllister or Ferguson McAllister, whatever, drop into the 10 positions. It's what Kane and Kulusevski did. And Son and Danjuma, as the wide players, stayed ridiculously high, further up, with the intention to pin back Brentford's fullbacks and get in behind. And you know what? In the first half, it'd be completely forgotten. That was probably one of the most enjoyable halves of football we've seen this season, actually. And it just couldn't maintain it. I think mainly from a fitness level. And I think also Brentford worked it out. But when I reflected on the game more, although Brentford probably deserved to win by the end because they were ruthless with what they did, it wasn't like Brentford pounded us into submission or Brentford didn't do anything amazing to beat us. It was the same problems of just defensively fucking shocking. If you watch the first 5 minutes of the second half, and I've watched it back, Tottenham play well in those 5 minutes. It's over 2 minutes to the second half before Brentford touched the ball. We start really well in the second half. Brentford get a throw in on the halfway line, and we've left the player completely free in the middle of the pitch, and they score. Mm. And then their heads went a bit. And just defensively, oh my God, between them defensively, from Sanchez, unfortunately, long lay not great, and Ben Davis had a bad day. And Ben's normally pretty reliable. We had a bad day. And the goalkeeper. What's the one thing Tottenham got to sort out most in terms of on the pitch? Goalkeeper. Honestly, as much as I need a creative midfielder and someone to run the game, we ain't doing fucking shit unless we get a good goalkeeper.
Do you blame him for the Mbeumo goals?
The amount of goals we can see is ridiculous. Do I blame him? No, not particularly. But he's something I told you the first time I saw him. If it's hard and low and it's in the corner, it's a goal.
He opened his body up and he finished them both so well. And I'm kind of like, should the keeper do better? I'm not saying he should.
I think particularly on the first one, he strikes it quite weird, Mbeumo. If you actually watch it, he actually ends up with quite a straight leg. But he manages to get over the ball at the same time, which gives it kind of a straight and sharp trajectory to the ball that you might not expect. So you might think with that, he's either going to cut across it and slice it, or it's going to come back towards the near side. But I think, to be honest, that's a really good goal, but I think most goalkeepers save that. On the second one, should he save it? No. And Mbeumo takes, if you watch it, Mbeumo takes the shot really quickly. But I know he's got no chance of saving it. He's not one of them you think he's just got no chance because he can't get down. So Tottenham have got to get a goalkeeper for possession orientated stuff, very importantly, but also someone we actually believe can save the thing. Otherwise, like if it's Lloris and Forster again next year, whether Kane stays or not, we'll finish bottom half. If we don't get a good goalkeeper, we'll finish bottom half. So forget whatever comes in culturally, all that stuff. And that in itself, I think, will make some of this better defensively. Like, do I think Romero and Longley are bad enough that they should be conceding over 60 goals in a season? No, they're not. Romero, I'd slam quite a lot. But they're not that bad as a partnership. They've not done too badly together when they've played recently together. But there's no confidence in what's behind. And you feel like it's one of them. I used to feel with Hugo, like, shoot from anywhere, I'll fancy him to save it. Now it's like, don't let fucking opponents shoot, because every chance is just going in, which is like how I used to feel when Joe Hart played in goal for us. It's like, it's no point. He's not saving anything. And Fraser's not done badly, by the way, to clarify. As I said, he's actually exceeded my expectations on him. But if he played every week for us next year, we concede way too many goals. So goalkeepers really got to get sorted out massively.
Nice.
Back to David Raya.
Yeah. Good, good.
Who would be first choice, by the way? I'd be very happy if we got him. He's very good.
And possibly, probably Manchester United as well. I know next week, I think what will be good is we can have a look, run down the squad of ins and outs next week because the season will be finished and we've got to talk about something on Tottenham. So we'll review the ins and outs, loanies, transfer rumours and all that kind of stuff as well. Maybe we will have a slut to talk about. What's his name? Slut. He manages.
I don't even know if it's Arnie or Arn yet.
Okay.
I'm not really interested in his appointments to be that bothered about it. I think it might be Arnslot. But he's one of them, though, isn't he? You can see all the fucking puns when we have bad days, right?
Indeed.
There'll be loads of shitty headlines we'll have to put up with. But he looks... I can buy into it. I can buy into it. But I've also been here before with managers like 2 years ago. It's like, are you going to get it done? When it's done great. And we talk about it properly and say, it does look like it's going to be him. If it is... I'm completely okay with it.
Lovely. Patrons, thank you for your support. James is quizzing tomorrow with Dan FPL Gas, right?
Yep. Dan's Gas doing a quiz. Whatever. Yeah. It's on Premier League final days. I'm on the answers.
Lovely jubbly. And diff show for you, the last of the season on Friday. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Can you Spurs? Cue music, please, man. Chub. Fantasy Football Show.